Police officer.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Mr. Nelson, are you ready to proceed?
Chauvin is accused of killing George Floyd last year. The defense is now presenting its case. The jury could get the case next week. The Texas Attorney General is suing the Biden administration to reinstate the so-called Remain in Mexico policy, which forces asylum seekers to wait south of the border for their immigration hearing. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
Bill Wamsley here. The first thing you're going to have to learn is until you stop expecting the politicians or anyone else to change your life isn't going to change. The only person who can change your life is you, but you need to know how. Listen to my show, The Del Wamsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins.
Tune in every Monday at 8 a.m., Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5 p.m., and Thursdays at noon, right here on KKNW.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk Weather Outlook for Tuesday. Well, another sunny and gorgeous day we have in store for us. High temperatures around 64, 65 degrees. Tonight, clear skies, low temperatures dropping down to about 40, 41. For Wednesday, running up into the weekend, more sunshine expected, warmer temperatures. By the end of the week, we'll actually see mid-70s. Oh, man, we've waited far too long for this. And the low temperature still hovering in the mid-40s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show. It's coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Thank you so much. And, Benny, let's just let everybody know that this is not my typical Dr. Pat intro.
Correct.
Yes.
We're throwing it back. We're throwing it back, and there's a reason. Go ahead. Yes, you have the floor.
And there's a reason that is true. Let me tell you in general, everybody, let me tell you a little bit about what's going on. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because we've got a really special show today. What's happening right now in the world of media is actually unprecedented for me. We're going through a time now where we're being watched by the music we play, where if you don't have a license or permission to play it or to say something, believe it or not, artificial intelligence for all of the social media companies has gotten really good. It's actually a little creepy. It's actually, like, creepy. That's how good it's gotten. And so we have had to change up my intro after 17 years because I actually got permission to use clocks, but I'll be darned if I can find an email from 15 years ago buried somewhere on some computer that crashed. And I actually got it from their fan club. So what you now hear is a version intro for the show that Nick Johnson personally recorded. And so in the world we're living in now, there are so many nuances and new things that we're having to be mindful about. And I'm actually going to do a show on that. Linda's trying to find time so that we could tell you why we're doing certain things. But none of that gets in the way. And I want to just shout out to Olivia and Jessica for stepping in today. Poor Jacob is a little bit under the weather, so to speak. And they are just stepping in today. And I've got a great team of people. But I will tell you one thing that has been a guiding light for me most of my life. Now, certainly I'm surrounded by amazing people. There's no question about it. I am not here talking to you or Marguerite. I am not here talking to anybody without my two-legged people helping me. I have to tell you, I'm not here talking to anybody without the help from those that we cannot see, especially Mary. And we're going to talk about that. Marguerite is joining me here today. Dr. Marguerite Rito-Yozo is joining me here today to talk about the mystery tradition of miraculous conception, but also Mary and the lineage of virgin births. And we're talking about this in a whole new way. Now, look, movies have been made. I don't even want to call them documentaries, but let's just say theories have been presented. But when you get somebody like Dr. Marguerite joining us here today, who writes a book and is called, and we're going to find out how that calling happened, but is called to this place to be the foremost authority on the history of virgin birth, you always want to stop and listen. It is just an honor to have someone like Marguerite joining me here today, to have somebody that is so passionate about this, that her fantastic book helps us understand what people call an intuitive knowing, like an intuitive knowledge, like something intuitive. You know, this is, for many people, this is something that growing up, some of us have had to deal with. Growing up Catholic, in Italian, Mediterranean, South American Catholic family, there were some things you said, and then there were some things you didn't. So if you ever said you thought Mary Magdalene was your sister, that probably got you sent to the priest. If you thought you were talking to one of these people, then you probably got to see the bishop. Then if you're me and you claim to have heard Jesus speak, you get kicked out of Catholic boarding school. But times have changed, and all of us have grown. But what is it that we feel so deeply? And I'm not saying that men don't feel this, but what is it that we feel so deeply? And I know as women we feel it deeply, that we just can't understand and we just can't explain, but we know it when we know it. Dr. Marguerite, it's great to have you joining us here today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Dr. Pat. It's great to be here, and it gave me chills when you said we also have to honor the beings on the other side, Mother Mary. That really hit me.
You know, I want to talk with you a little bit, if I could, about what I said. I would like, first of all, I want to find out where your passion comes from, but I want to get you to really weigh in a minute on this intuitive connection. I mean, I saw it in my grandma. I saw it in my great-grandma. I saw it in grandmas on both sides. They would drop to their knees. Just you say Mother Mary. They would, they're just something. And, you know, as kids, we never had to say, oh, that's why they do it. You know, when Grandma Belella dropped to her knees for Mother Mary, everybody in the family dropped. Nobody understood why they were doing that. Can you talk about that connection we seem to have that obviously you have?
Yeah, you know, I absolutely can. And this is something that people will not hear in other interviews because this topic just doesn't come up. But particularly in the Italian tradition and the Italian-American tradition, as with many European cultures, there's a whole tradition of indigenous knowing. There's a whole pre-Christian tradition of goddess veneration. And so when the Christianity came around, it just slotted over that. And when people connect with Mother Mary, they're connecting with that ancient goddess. And that's why you and your family knew this was serious business when your grandma dropped to her knees, you know, because she was connecting with that ancient goddess that Mary is a manifestation of, you know, one of the more recent manifestations of. But there's power in that. Your grandmother knew it, your mother knew it, your aunts, whoever, going back to the times when they were doing magical practices themselves. You know, I come from a family in Corleone, believe it or not.
I still can't believe it.
I found out that my great-grandfather, you know, in Corleone was the town healer. And I found this out after I did all this research on what they call fregoneria, or witchcraft, so to speak, but not in the negative way, that was going on in Italy and Sicily for generations, centuries, if not longer, and really came over here in the United States. There are people who still carry what they call the old tradition. You know, I've met these people, I've worked with them, I interviewed them, and so forth. So for us and for many people around the world, Mary is just a version of the goddess that all of a sudden came on through the imposition of this other religion, and we said, okay, we can get with her. And this is all over the ancient Mediterranean world, South American world. You know, there are processions. She becomes a number one, even bigger than Jesus. And so, I mean, back in the day when I was growing up a Catholic girl, you know, I appreciated Mary, but in a way, I didn't want to have anything to do with her just because of the implication that it meant you had to be a virgin, you had to be, you know, a certain kind of way. That was the main thing that I didn't really like about her. Not to mention that we didn't really see who she really was, that I've only found out through my research and this book that you're talking about, The Mystery Tradition of Miraculous Conception. So, you know, it's taken me years to really get back with her on that deeper level that speaks to what your grandmother instinctively knew, right? Like, I had to go to grad school to get there. I had to be carrying carts of books back and forth from my library at California Institute of Integral Studies in order for me to get back into a heartfelt, womb-felt connection with Mary. And then when I united my intellect with that deeper knowing that you're referring to, then it became
Excellent. A
situation, and it's resulted in this book.
You know, what I love about this is, you know, I was reading your book, and a light bulb went on for me. And, you know, and I want to talk with you about this when we come back from break. But the light bulb that went on for me, I thought about my own journey and really battle with finding my own truth in spirituality. The good news for me, some people say it's not so good news. I actually see it as good news, is after my mom passed away, my dad remarried a Southern Baptist woman. But she was not your, how do I say, she was different. She was more of the positive side of life. And I got this really interesting blend at a very young age and a very different view. But somehow, even in my struggle, I never turned away from Mary. I may have turned away from a bunch of other folks there, but I never, ever turned away from Mary. When we come back, let's talk about why I'm not alone in that, why there are so many people, no matter what they've said or walked away from or connected to, no matter what their spiritual religious practice is, there's one thing that I rarely hear. I rarely hear that anyone is mad at Mary. Rarely hear that. We're going to take a short break when we come back. We're going to be talking about a new idea of Mary's divine birth of Jesus. And why is it so many of us connect with that? So many of us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Dr. Marguerite.
Join
Find the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
The Finder of Lost Things, exploring your superpowers of trust, healing, and transformation with me, Hannah Belton. When my brother, Christian, went missing, I completely denied my grief. We can either transform and transition, or we can stay stagnant. This podcast will uncover the process that Christian and I went on to find the lost things, him, and to find the parts of me that were missing. And there are things that are missing in you that prevent you from letting go, whether it's a person, a dream, a lifestyle. That process of trusting and finding the lost pieces and integrating them, that's where you get your sustainable transition that will carry on. Tune in every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You can find me at HannahBelton.online.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Hi, I'm Laura Goldstein, and here's a Coffee with the Universe tip. It's no secret that anxiety and overwhelm are on the rise. While the tendency is to suppress these feelings, anxiety is really a messenger that's telling you something is off, very off. You might be shooting yourself and living a life based on someone else's expectations. Maybe you have trouble saying no, or maybe you're following the fearful voice in your head that demands you do more, be more in order to feel worthy. So see where you can make a few adjustments in what you're doing to get rid of the overwhelm and create more peace inside instead. To get more tips like this, tune into my Transformation Talk radio show called Coffee with Universe. It's a live call-in show. I'd love to chat with you.
Everybody, welcome back. Welcome back. I am joined here with Dr. Marguerite Rigoyoso, joining me here today to share, yes, it's about her book. You know, yes, it's, of course, about, you know, the mystery tradition of miraculous conception, Marian lineage of virgin births. Of course, it's about that. But it's also more than that, because once you read the book, and then once you take a look at what Dr. Marguerite's path has been like, you get a sense, just like many of us, that there is a calling at play here. And once we heed to the calling, once we say yes and put one foot in front of the other, miracles do happen. Before we go, how do people get a copy of the book, and how do they find out about you? Let's make sure we do that. And then, Benny, I have one copy of the book to give away during the show, too.
Perfect. Yes, so people can purchase the book wherever the book is sold, wherever books are sold. The Inner Traditions website, Amazon.com website, Barnes & Noble, Indie.org. And I just learned today that the Audible version is in pre-order now.
Oh.
The version is available in the U.S. There is a sale for, I don't know, maybe another day or two on the ebook, which is only $2.99. And so, again, you can check on Amazon for that ebook, and really everywhere it's now on Audible. And if people want to know more about me, they can go to my school, Seven Sisters Mystery fevenschool.com, and the seven is written out, F-E-V-E-N. And there you will see many, many rich free resources about Mother Mary, about many other topics, and you'll get a sense of what I've been doing in the school, the classes that I offer. I do have one on the Mother Mary Mystery Teachings, how to get in touch with me, and book private sessions, that sort of thing. So thank you for letting me do that as
Thank
well.
You. And Benny, let's go ahead and give the copy away, if we could, 1-800-930-2819. So the reason I wanted to start out in the way I started out is because I really think that the discovery and what you're bringing forward has broader implications for women. I think as women, we intuitively feel it, right? It's hard to explain, and we also feel when our power is being diminished, right? And so, you know, let's talk for a minute about what this journey was like for you, but also let's talk about how special Mary is viewed in the world, is felt in the world, and also when we think about this, what we have come to read about Mary versus what we intuitively sense about Mary.
That's right. And not only that, but there are many other documents that have been written about Mary besides Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that's the one that I've looked into in my new book, The Mystery Tradition of Miraculous Conception. Dr. Pat, I look at something that is called the Infancy Gospel of James. That is the treasure trove that tells us about Mary's divine birth from her mother, Anne. It's where we first hear about Anne. Mary's infancy training in divine birth, her training in the Hebrew temple, and then the conception ritual by which she conceived Jesus. Now, even though our Catholic Church rejected this gospel and said it wasn't official, and it used it as the basis of these feast days. It used it as the basis of Mary's presentation in the temple, Mary's birth, right?
Yeah.
So it's been there all along. And there are other biographies, believe it or not, old biographies, you know, that go back to the first 100 years of this, of the first millennium, that tell us about Mary. So what I did in my work is I combine that intuition that I started developing about Mary that you're talking about, that all these people around the world who honor Mary and have feast days to her and pray to her bigger than Jesus, you know, I combine that feeling that I started developing and when it came back to me is, believe it or not, when I was in grad school, and one of my mentors was Charlene Spretnak. And she also has written a book called Missing Mary.
Yeah.
She had a devotion to Mary, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, an intellectual woman who has a devotion to Mary. And it was so heartfelt that it opened the door. It gave me permission to get Mary back, right? So that was like stage number one as I was studying goddesses of antiquity and you know, all of the other living goddesses. I realized Mary's a goddess, too. I'm into the goddess. Mary's a goddess, right? So what is she all about? And, you know, from there, as I started going into this work about divine birth, that's my main research. That was my dissertation. And my first book was called The Cult of Divine Birth in Ancient Greece. So, you see, I knew all of the signs and symbols of what virgin birth was and how it was done across the ancient Mediterranean world and beyond. So when I set my eyes on this infancy gospel of James, which, by the way, was originally called Birth of Mary.
Wow.
So I correct that record in my book. I knew what I was looking at. I knew the jewels that were coming out of this treasure box. I knew how to interpret them and understand them and write about them for other people so that thinking people could at last marry their intuition about this divine birth thing with something that made sense.
Yeah.
So it's not just a blind faith now. It's not just, well, I guess we have to swallow that this was something miraculous. No, I give a kind of a biotechnical explanation of what she was doing and how this was a whole training, right?
So, you know, this I think is going to assist so many people who do look at Mary in an intuitive way, and like many, many people have done with the Magdalene over the last 30 years.
Right.
You're aware of that whole movement?
Yes.
Well, this is the unveiling of Mother Mary, another Mary, right, that we
yes.
needed, because she's the foundation. She's the mother. She was the teacher of all of them, right? And these are the things that I learned in all of this exploration of these books, right? And then, you know, I've had my own mystical experiences. I've had miracles. Mary healed my womb of a tumor. She healed my, got me my house. Okay? She's been there for me. You know, she's there. Like, if you start opening the door to her and say, Mother Mary, please let me connect with you, you will have things start happening. You know, she has been a great teacher for me. She has held me at night when I am freaking out, you know, before COVID and during COVID, when we don't know what the heck's going on, and all these family relationships are fracturing because everybody has different beliefs. And I'm there, please hold me. Not only that, but I asked her to put me in her womb. And that's where I go when I go to sleep.
Yeah.
And that's how I have protection at night when I'm, you know, when I'm going to sleep, I put her. Then, not only is she my healer and protector, she's my mentor. Because I'm like, Mother Mary, how are you doing it? How do I address this family member that I'm in disagreement with? How do I address, you know, this situation that is a challenge to me? Please show me. And I begin a conversation with her, and anyone can do it, you know. So we're talking about Mother Mary for thinking, smart, intellectual, savvy people who are willing to open to the mystery, all right? Mm-hmm. This book helps us go through a new doorway with Mother Mary so we can access her on multiple levels, and we can make sense of this virgin birth business finally.
Yeah. You talk about it as the suppression of Mother Mary's gospel, I believe, in your book. That's the reference that you talk about it. And what a beautiful selection of words, because you see, this idea of suppression is really out in front of all of us right now. And, you know, it's so interesting you brought this up about praying to Mary, about family and families being torn apart. I have to tell you that I had to do a little praying the past couple days because, and you know, it's interesting what I find myself praying to Mary for. And a lot of times it's clarity. And I found that interesting in reading your book. You know, I don't, there's not a whole lot of other people. I have a saint for this and maybe an archangel for this, but when it comes to clarity or acts of integrity, it is Mary that I look towards. And I found myself, and I have a statue of her that I keep out all the time, and she's sitting in a lotus, and I find myself in these past couple of days, it's so interesting you brought this up, where I have never seen in my time on planet where people are not allowed to speak their truth.
Yeah.
I've never really seen it where, certainly I don't believe in making stuff up, especially when it comes to health and well-being. And I especially, in psychology, I don't believe in, just don't make stuff up about stuff. But I've never really seen a time where the largest media conglomerates, in a mention of a word, or maybe two words of an opinion about something medical, will shut your network down.
That's right.
And I was stunned. And as a business owner, I look at that, and I just looked at Mary. I just said, Mary, I know you went through this stuff. I know you went through the whole shebang just like this. You didn't have a YouTube. You didn't have a Facebook. You didn't have that. But you have critics. And you went through it and you watched it. How did you gain clarity? how did you gain clarity on what to do? How did you put your ego aside and learn compassion? And I think that is what you're reminding us of.
Yeah.
You know, you're reminding us of someone who, and by the way, grandma was named Mary and my mother was named Ann.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, that's how much you are showing up in the family.
God's names really, really show up.
But tell me a bit about this, because I know that I've watched relatives drop to their knees and not pray for a thing, but pray for a direction or pray for a healing or pray for a healing of others. I can only tell you how many times I have watched my relatives go to the church once upon a time when you can actually light a candle. They still light candles in their homes, but once you can actually do it and go through that, I want to ask you this question and talk to you about it when we come back. By presenting this information, how do you feel about the energy that it has let loose now? How do you feel about the freedom, even in a world that if I said a certain word today, I guarantee you something negative would happen to my show? How do we hold on to the liberating magnetic motion of Mary that nothing can really silence? When we come back, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, because I know you studied it. Sure. Let's take a short break, Benny. Everybody, we'll be right back.
I'm the host of Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. I share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me in each show where we challenge ourselves to change together. Please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
Hi, I'm Trish Loeb from A Cup of Comfort, where we talk about care hero topics that nobody wants to talk about. Here's your care hero tip of the day. During all care hero journeys, we need to keep track of a lot of information arises, some of it critical. Possibly the greatest challenge care heroes face is the gathering and organizing of information. This is every trade has a power tool, whether an electric drill or a laptop. My family's care hero power tool was the three-ring binder. We generated a mini library of labeled three-ring binders, one for each category of information, complemented with additional spiral notebooks used to detail medical appointments and episodes. This unfussy and convenient system of binders helped my family stay organized and able to deliver the dignified care and end of life my parents desired. Tune into my show to learn more. See you on the second and fourth Tuesday of the month at 12 Pacific here on Transformation Talk Radio. Feel free to reach out to me at info@trishlaub.com.
The truth is funny. Just happened that Colette Marie Steffens is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living, LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there. But when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance. From the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
Thank you.
everybody. Welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Thank you. We're talking about the mystery tradition of miraculous conception. And Dr. Marguerite, please let us know again how we can get a copy of the book, and also how do we find out more about you, about the mystery school, and how to work with you.
Yeah, great. So this book, The Mystery Tradition of Miraculous Conception, Mary and the Lineage of Virgin Birth, here it is. You can get it on the Inner Traditions website. That's the publisher, the very fine publisher. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Indie.com. And I just learned, as I mentioned earlier, that the Audible version, which is coming out April 27th as we're recording, is already available in advanced purchase. The ebook is on sale for a limited time now at $2.99, and the book itself, the paperback, is $16.99. It's available already in the U.S. It's coming out in Australia and the U.K. In May. And my website is SevenSistersMysterySchool.com. That's my organization that I founded in 2012, and I've been offering many, many courses, events. There are free audios, free videos. You can contact me. I also work one-on-one with people as a mentor for your spiritual evolutionary path, your sacred career path, and more. So you can go to that website and contact us.
And, you know, one of the things I want to say, and thank you for sharing all of that, and, you know, and also for paying forward a copy of the book and much more. I'm really struck by the detail in this book. And I want to talk about it a little bit before we talk about sort of a more global impact. And I was struck by everything from reading about Sarah, reading about Anne, and the way you've weaved this beautiful tapestry together in language that we can understand. That's what I was most impressed by. But I was also sort of struck by Mary in the temple. I mean, can you see how many people must be saying to you, what?
Yeah. Yes, and sometimes that response has come. Yes, so, you know, it warms my heart to hear that you can read it and it feels like it flows, and it's easy to understand that complicated topics are suddenly, you know, you as a reader are a genius because you can understand it, you know. My first two books are more academic, and I think that's why it's been a 12-year lag, but I really wanted to make sure this book was accessible because I am talking about, as you're mentioning, this lineage of women. These are not just isolated incidents that we happen to hear, you know, in the Hebrew Bible and about Sarah, the wife of the biblical Abraham, who gave birth in her elder years to Isaac. About then Anne, who was introduced in, again, the infancy gospel of James, who in her elder years gives birth to Mary. Both of these women do not have sexual relations with their partners. They are giving parthenogenetic birth, as it's called, to these children. And then Mary does the same thing with Jesus. And then it turns out that Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, is actually Anne's sister, according to the Islamic tradition, because I talk about how the Muslims were really up on this holy family as well, and how Elizabeth, in her elder years, gives birth to John the Baptist, again, in virgin birth fashion. And the intriguing thing about Elizabeth is that what I show is that she and Mary were part of eight women who did this divine conception ritual as a group. They were two of eight virgins from the lineage of King David who were called to do this. So what I show is how and why this was a deliberate, conscious plan on the part of these women to bring forth these high holy avatars, because it was understood in the ancient world that if you wanted a particular type of being, namely really a god who could walk among us, take human flesh, you had to do a certain type of conception ritual. And that's what I describe. And virginity was an important part, okay? That's why Mary was a virgin, not because she was good, you know? Virginity was a kind of a technology needed, a clarity of body, mind, spirit that was needed to bring in a high-level being like this. And her time in the temple, and really starting from infancy in her mother's sanctuary until she was 3 years old, she was being trained by these virgins. And we are told that she communicated with the angelic realms. She received food from them. This is telling us that she was working at very high interdimensional levels with these beings on the other side. She was getting trained in tremendous technologies to be able to have a divine conception in her body and bring forth one such as Jesus, who was the highest level being who ever came through. Because as I say at the beginning of this book and my other books, there are many women all over the world, historically and legendarily, who gave birth in this way. This mm-hmm. is not new. This is not only something that Mary did or even her mother did. It's all over the world. It's a technology. It's a priestess practice. There are trainings that have to do with the holy womb that a woman has to get really clear on how she connects up her body, mind, and spirit together, working with those astral angelic realms in order to, boom, bring in this avatar for the purposes of helping humanity deal with these forces that are related to what you were saying earlier. Yeah. Why are we in so much turmoil right now? Because when they came to this planet, they saw the very same forces going on. They said, whoa, this planet needs a leg up. How can we help? Let's get this whole thing rolling. We know we're taking risks because we know that a whole bunch of stuff is going to get connected with us that doesn't even have to do with the light, but we're going to do it anyway. But now, returning to your question, why Mary, why Magdalene?
Because there cannot be a mistake to this.
Yeah.
You know, I just think, I still believe in divine, let's call it divine logic, divine intuition, divine pathfinding, divine soul calling, divine. I believe in that because I look back at my life, and if I didn't have as many divine interventions, I know I would not be here speaking with you today. I'm very clear about that. But I've always looked at tough times for us, and somehow someone of ancient wisdom comes forward and bam.
That's it.
Right? I mean,
they're here.
It wasn't very fancy said, but I'm just
they're opening. They've always been here, but now when we have times of crisis, we tend to call on them more because we're like down on our knees. I don't know what other direction to go in. Holy cow, I'm really feeling nervous and worried about this situation. I've got deaf ears, whatever. They are there, and they will come in. And, you know, more than that, though, Pat, it's the larger world. A whole world is in crisis. Now, how did they get a whole entire world in crisis, these forces? Wow, that is quite a trick. But they have done it. It is the now moment. It is the time of almost like the, you know, Armageddon, if you will, which is really about just a great awakening. It's not about, it's a destruction rebirth, right? It's a death rebirth. That's what we're in. And in times of intensity like this, we need these masters who are guardianing and guiding and mentoring the humans in this realm. And it has been a divine timing because with the Da Vinci Code and other things, the veil came off Mary Magdalene. Now
right.
The veil is coming off on Mary, and there are, you know, other timings for how we're going to connect with Jesus. But the fact is, and I always want to come back to this, it's the time of the second coming that's within. It is not that these beings are going to come down in a spaceship or be born and, you know, have a replication of what already happened. No. They're saying, look, we're here. look at us. Look at, we are models for you. We're not to be worshipped. Look in the mirror. You are that. Okay? I am that. I am. You look at Mary, you say, I am that. How can I be more that? How can I raise my heart vibration, my womb vibration, my intuition vibration to be more in alignment with you or Jesus? This is the second coming. This is the awakening. And this world crisis is providing a spur for some of us to go into that advanced timeline if we want it.
And, you know, one of the things I'm really struck by in the book, I think it's towards the end, you say the opening, paraphrasing, you say the opening has now happened for Mary. The opening has now happened for this truth to come through. And whenever I think of an opening, I believe it is in response to an energy or energies that are happening in a time we live in. You know, I go back to my youth, and I talk briefly about my stepmom, who was, by all rights, she was an activist with blonde hair and big red lipstick and long red nails. And, boy, we would march, and I never knew what we were marching about. Cigarette flying out of her mouth, and there's just so many stories now I have a different perspective about growing up. And I thought when I was growing up that those would be the worst of times.
Huh.
Right? No, as when you're a kid and you're watching, you know, your friends being gunned down because they're standing up for something they believe in, or you happen to be at Stonewall one weekend and you're watching the police and you think we've done that. And we haven't.
Well, you know what's happened, Pat, is a lot of that outward violence now has gone inward. It's
on
psychic planes. And that's what you're describing with the censorship, with the differences of opinion, resulting in shutdowns and so forth of communication, with the character assassination. So these deaths are on the inner planes now. Okay, these beatings up are on the inner planes, and it's more global, really, than isolated to certain pockets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I started teaching about Mary 12 years ago.
Wow.
Right? I really, when my first books came out about ancient Greece, I already had the material on Mary. I was already giving slideshows and workshops and things like that, little bit by bit, here and there. Finally, I got the nudge to write this book. Like, it had to get written down and go in a bigger way, and it had to be accessibly written. And boom, what ends up happening? We all go on lockdown. I get my book contract with Inner Traditions. Oh, 2 weeks later, okay, last March 2020, now it comes out with another iteration of this crisis, and who knows what else is going to happen, but it's just so amazing how this is emerging now, and the relevance of this book is that this is about women's womb power and what we can say yes to, what we can say no to, and how we can work with these great masters to help us in these critical times when we have situations come upon us and we need that clarity, like you're talking about. She gives you clarity. When we need that heart opening.
Absolutely.
When we're dealing with people that are totally opposed to us or that we're opposed to, right? This is the initiation into the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Mary, right? We're in it now in such a big way. And so that's why I think that the door is opening now to us to be able to understand Mary, first of all, starting with her divine conception abilities, and then through the course that I have and a book that I'm going to be, you know, doing next year, looking at her more broadly, like what are her other abilities and how can we use her as our role model and our teacher. so that we can have those abilities within us, you know. And there are different technologies for conception that women need and want to know about going forward, so that we can conceive more consciously, and we can help this planet along by bringing in higher vibrational children to this planet. Okay, so it's all part of a whole thing that's being unveiled, unfolded, rolled out now. And, you know, I'm just delighted to be part of it with this book coming out that I was inspired to write.
And I want to comment on one thing, and it kind of blew by a little bit, and I just want to be really clear to our listeners about this. And I talked about my own dissertation and doctoral work a little bit here and there. I don't talk about it very much because I get post-traumatic stress disorder every time I do.
Oh, yes.
Every time I do.
Bulimia can be brutal.
I don't ever regret doing it, and I know I'm going to be doing something with that body of work because, honestly, but I want to talk about what research is. Just for folks that may not know, when you write a dissertation, you're in front of a committee. You got probably a chair on there. You probably have an oversight committee, just like I did, and nothing leaves that school, nothing gets published without the scrutiny of many eyes and dozens more fingers and edits. It doesn't happen, right?
Well,
and I want to talk to that because when you say research,
yes,
and dissertation, this is a body of work, and I could see you with arms filled with books just trudging around finding the little bit of a footnote. And I'm going to have to get your dissertation because I just have to see it. But that's what I want to really say here.
Yes.
You and I may be talking about opinions at some level, but what you're bringing to the forefront in this book is
absolutely two plus decades of work on some level. It was a deep intellectual academic process that is really still going on.
Yeah.
And was one in which I applied my academic chops to intuition. You know, I really was weaving both. There was a figure eight going on where I would read something and it would spark a whole level of understanding, and then I would get a downpour of information that I would then have to go and prove in the literature. So, you know, I've been doing that. You know, I did that. I chose going to the California Institute of Integral Studies in California.
Wow.
Precisely because I knew I was not going to be in front of a firing squad the way you're talking about, and they were not going to control me and strong arm me. Okay, and I can spar intellectually with the best of them, you know, but I did it in my own way.
Exactly.
In a safe environment where the life wasn't going to be squeezed out of it and the feminine wasn't going to be squeezed out of it, you see. And even so, I had to be very careful about who I chose to onto the committee.
Exactly.
To this day, I have mentors. Many of my academic mentors have turned away from this book. Why? They cannot get with the idea that a woman could conceive in and of herself without male sperm. They can't go there. And even if they, and some of them are devotees of Mary, which is the strangest thing of all. So here I am, like,
it's a conundrum.
Proposing an intellectual way of understanding this, and they won't even look at it. Right? They won't even look at it. So
that's the pathway that you're carving.
That's the pathway I'm carving.
That's the pathway. And, you know, for us, we're grateful you did. Look, I knew that when I started this show in 2004 and the dean of my department at my school saw me standing out like this and he thought I had crystals. He blacklisted me. And I didn't have crystals, but I thought, and the only way I knew about it was one of the students called me and said, hey, you know, he doesn't want me to study with you. And I said, like, why? Aren't you, like, standing with crystals? I said,
whoa.
Like, so what?
I know.
So what?
Now, this is the thing. The forces of repression and patriarchal control come through every single institution, be it medical, religious, academic, social, what have you. This is what we're dealing with. And, you know, there are some of us who are just totally pioneers, and we go into their calls, we do what we need to do, and then we get out. And, you know, this is the getting out, okay?
It is.
And bringing it out to the world and letting it have its ripples.
And let people decide. Let people decide.
That's
let people read it and decide. Dr. Marguerite, thank you so much for today. I really appreciate you, and I'm sure we'll be speaking again. And by the way, I had to call on two of my favorite warrior priestesses today. I needed guidance and leadership. That's Mary Magdalene.
Oh.
That's who I call for that. Then I needed clarity in what my own belief system was, and that's Mary. And the third was you today to remind me that what we feel inside is relevant. Thank you, Dr. Marguerite, for everything.
Thank you for having me here, Dr. Pat. Really appreciate it, and bless you.
And I want to thank all of you for tuning us in. Benny, thank you for doing what you do. Olivia, thank you. We're going to take a really short break. We've got another hour coming up. Boy, decisions, facing yourself in the mirror, and speaking your truth. Let's keep it rolling. We'll see you in a few minutes.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good sunny Tuesday to you. Penny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town. Well, good thing, folks, so far no major blocking or accidents to report at the moment. A little bit of slowing still on 405 northbound and southbound in the Kennydale Hill area around Northeast 44th Street. But again, everywhere else, traffic's looking pretty good. Hopefully you're able to get out there and enjoy the sunshine. And if not right now or today, you will be able to all week long.
Radio. I'm Tim Roberts. Members of the White House COVID response team are trying to tamp down concerns about the recommended pause in the distribution of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. The recommendation came from the FDA and the CDC due to concerns about rare blood clots.
Let me start by saying that this announcement will not have a significant impact on our vaccination program.
White House COVID response coordinator Jeff Zients notes that the J&J vaccine makes up less than 5% of recorded vaccinations in the U.S. Several reports say President Biden plans to withdraw all American troops from Afghanistan by the 20th anniversary of the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. 3,000 troops were scheduled to come home by May 1st. President Biden says fallen Capitol Police officer William Billy Evans will always live in the hearts of his family members.
A memory, a fragrance, a scene, the way his son tilts his head the way he did when he was that age. It's going to bring back the memory.
Evans is lying in honor in the Capitol Rotunda today after he was struck and killed by a vehicle at a Capitol security checkpoint earlier this month. It's the defense's turn to make their case in the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, who's accused of killing George Floyd last May. After the prosecution rested this morning, the defense called retired Minneapolis police officer Scott Creighton to the stand. He was cross-examined by the prosecution.
You were asking questions about what the other officers were doing, correct?
That's correct.
Your attention was focused on Mr. Floyd, correct?
Yes, it was.
And Mr. Floyd didn't drop dead while you were interacting with him, correct?
No.
The case could go to the jury next week. There's late word the officer who shot 20-year-old black man Dante Wright just outside Minneapolis is resigning. Brooklyn Center officer Kim Potter turned in her resignation today, effective immediately. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
Research shows that people remember radio ads with repetition.
So to help you remember that Liberty Mutual Insurance Company customizes your home insurance so you only pay for what you need, here's a repetitive ad. Okay. Research shows that people remember radio ads as repetition. So to help you remember that Liberty Mutual Insurance Company customizes your home insurance so you only pay for what you need, here's a repetitive ad. Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty.
Here's a message just for the attorneys out there. So you passed the bar, joined a firm, or even built your own. Now are you finding out that you're doing more administration than actual law practice? Lexicon can help. Lexicon is a legal services and technology provider with over a decade of experience streamlining administrative tasks like timekeeping, HR, billing, client intake, and more. So you can focus on maximizing billable hours and increasing client satisfaction. Call 855-4-LEXICON or visit lexiconservices.com/go to learn more.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk weather outlook for Tuesday. Well, another sunny and gorgeous day we have in store for us. High temperatures around 64, 65 degrees. Tonight, clear skies, low temperatures dropping down to about 40, 41. For Wednesday, running up into the weekend, more sunshine expected, warmer temperatures. By the end of the week, we'll actually see mid-70s. Oh, man, we've waited far too long for this. And the low temperatures still hovering in the mid-40s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Get ready to challenge conventional beliefs about what's possible in creating health, wealth, and happiness. You are listening to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge. This hit show is providing you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. It is time to open and expand your awareness, accelerate your well-being as Megan shares wisdom, teachings, and experience from a lifelong journey of the heart. Enact the power of radical change with ease and lift your desires to a new perspective. Now, here's Playing on the Edge Radio.
Oh, boy, do we have a good one here, Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge, Radical Change with Ease. And I get to take this partnership with her and join her today, Megan. And I want to just start out by saying this first. You have said yes to an entire body of work that is and helps others. Take the heart's journey, as you say. Take the heart's journey, but really uncover every stone that has to do with that. And one of the things that I find is one of the most difficult for people, whether it's taking a journey or not taking a journey, is the minute you say the word forgiveness.
Say it again.
Forgiveness. Now what I'm going to say is on the edge of radical forgiveness with Eve.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about today. And this is a passion of yours. This is not just a topic for a show. How deep does this go within you?
Oh, gosh. So deep. So many levels, so many layers to it. I actually want to go back to something that you just said about
sure.
whether you choose to be on the journey or you don't. And that struck something for me, which is this. There is no choice. You're on the journey. You're on the journey. The moment you said yes to being born, you're on the journey. The moment you said yes to your mother and your father, to those little cells coming together and starting to create the uniqueness that is you, you have said yes to this journey. What you choose to then do with this journey is entirely up to you. That's that beautiful free will piece that I often talk about. When I look at the body of work that I have tapped into, that I have participated in, and that I have created, what I see is something I call one-stop shopping, in a sense. It's mind, body, and soul healing, because we are an entire entity. We are not just our blood cells. We are not just our bones. We are not just our thoughts. We are not just our experiences. We are all of it. So when I do healing work with people, fundamentally, I want to empower them. I want them to understand that I'm not the one doing the healing and that actually there's nothing wrong with them. They're not broken in any way. And they have within themselves the capacity to be the person that they want to be the person that they came here to be. Now, it's not the easiest path. This journey is not easy. Being human is not for the faint of heart, in my opinion. However, I know there are ways that we can make it easier. And that's what this is really all about, is how can we take an experience of our human life, like forgiveness, and how can we make it radical and make it easy and get her done so that we're not living constantly caught up in our own story or our own rhetoric or our own beliefs that are no longer serving us.
Yeah.
And how can we move into something that does serve us?
Yeah. And, you know, I want to just get back to what I said, because when I think about this and I think about my own journey with forgiveness, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand it. I didn't understand what it meant. And we're going to talk about that today. I didn't understand what the antithesis of forgiveness was. And we're going to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Feelings of resentment.
Yes.
And then the big question is, who does forgiving affect? But let's start by thinking about ourselves first.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you could think of that you could or would never forgive, Megan?
Isn't that a beautiful question?
That's what you ask. That's the first exercise that you use in the group, and I just thought I'd spring that right back on you, although I know that's one of your questions.
Well, it is a really great place to start.
It is.
It opens us to some of our blind spots that we may not be aware of, hence they're called blind spots, because we're not seeing them. We can get ourselves very justifiably upset or angry or judgmental about other people's behaviors and actions that have been taken, that we feel have been taken to us or around us or about us, without necessarily understanding where that trigger is coming from. And so this question, which is simply, what is the one thing that you feel you could absolutely under no circumstances ever forgive? It's a really big question. And when people start to work with this question, they usually start at a surface idea. You know, well, I couldn't forgive if somebody flipped me the finger. Really? You couldn't forgive that? Okay. I couldn't forgive if my spouse cheated on me. Really? I mean, could you? What if you did? Right? That's the second part of that exercise is, okay, here's this thing that you've decided is the worst possible thing that anyone could ever do to you or do to anyone else. And we're not questioning that, the validity of that. We're just asking what it is. But then we are asking the next question, which is, well, why not?
Yeah.
And again, coming from a place of curiosity, not from judgment. Why? I would love to understand, why couldn't you forgive that? And then the third part of that exercise is, what if you did? You know, what would happen if you did? What could the effect of that be? What could the impact of that be? So I'm hoping that as we're having this conversation, in fact, I invite our audience, our listening audience, get a piece of paper and a pen and write down, what is the thing you think you could never, ever forgive? Why not? What is it about that thing that is so heinous that it doesn't deserve understanding and compassion and forgiveness at some level?
Yeah.
From a place of curiosity. And then, but what if you did? So I've been thinking about this a lot since we've been...
Oh, my gosh. I have two. did you have a flashback?
Mm-hmm.
I had a flashback. Did you have a flashback at some point in time in your life?
I did go through some events in my life.
Did you?
Check in to see where I was at with those events. Yeah.
I'm packing up because we're moving, and we're doing it in pieces because, you know, most people take a week off. I can't take a week off. Mm-hmm. And so I just packed Mother Mary. And after I packed her, I thought, why did I do that?
I needed her out here. Then I realized she could be out here. So here's what I remembered as I was thinking about this show. I had a flashback to being like a six-year-old going on seven and being furious at God and Jesus over my mother's death.
Yeah.
Now, that's me as an adult saying that. But as a child, you know, kids say, I hate you, I hate you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the first real, I didn't even get mad at my dad for spanking me. I just couldn't wait to then do what I did badly again, so get it over with. But this one thing right there, I was thinking about this, and I carried that for a while as a young person until somebody schooled me about that.
Yeah.
But how many of us as young people and any other age people carry things like that, and we don't know we are carrying them because they've become part of our cellular bodies.
Exactly. Exactly. And they do become part of our cellular body at the personal level, the physical, emotional, and energetic level. And then they can also become part of our collective experience. So either the family that can't forgive the transgression of that other family or the other part of the family, the community that can't forgive the transgression of another community, the country that collectively holds on to an identity of victimhood and can't forgive. And part of what we're going to be talking about in this show is that whole idea of having to, needing to, should you? What if you can't? And then ultimately where I want to bring people to is a perception or a perspective rather of what if there isn't anything to forgive because we could choose to look at it from the perspective of everything happens for a reason and on purpose.
Now, that's the one I can't wait till we get to. But I'm really interested in, as we move forward, to really look at this. And, you know, one of the things you're going to take on when we come back from break is what the ripple effect of forgiveness or non-forgiveness is. Because often we don't think about, we don't say, I feel this way and it has this, this, and this effect. But we now know what forgiveness is good for, what non-forgiveness is good for or not so good for, and what it takes to really understand these. Because don't you think that if we sat for a moment and even in the most enraged times of our lives had ourselves open up to just a sliver of relief from that anger, resentment, fear.
Yeah.
So when we come back, Megan's going to walk us on the journey. And what happens? What happens? Does the person you're still mad at even know you're mad at them or resent them? Are they even alive? We're going to take a short break. That and much more Megan Edge. This is Playing on the Edge Radio on the Edge of Radical Forgiveness with these. We'll be right back.
The Finder of Lost Things, exploring your superpowers of trust, healing, and transformation. With me, Annabelle. When my brother, Christian, went missing, I completely denied my grief. We can either transform and transition, or we can stay stagnant. This podcast will uncover the process that Christian and I went on to find the lost things, him, and to find the parts of me that were missing. And there are things that are missing in you that prevent you from letting go. Whether it's a person, a dream, a lifestyle, that process of trusting and finding the lost pieces and integrating them, that's where you get your sustainable transition that will carry on.
Tune in every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You can find me at HannahBelton.online.
Tired of not losing the weight? You need a healthy solution for weight loss that protects your muscle mass as the fat burns away naturally. Holistic Medical Center has the healthy option for your weight loss concerns. Lose 1 to 3 pounds per day in 21 days, naturally, under our physician supervision. Call Holistic Medical Center, 425-451-0404. Or on the web, drdarvish.com, drdarvish.com.
What we've been taught and told is not all there is. Life is all about energy, and the energy you feel is real. Tune into the energy paradigm each month on transformationtalkradio.com with Dr. Vic. The energy paradigm is an eye-opening, mind-shifting, transformative, and earth-shattering way to live, work, and do business that will enable you to unlock your magic every day. Visit theenergyparadigm.com.
Has your kindness been used against you? Are you ready to clear the confusion and reconnect with your power? Then it's time to become toxic person-proof. Join toxic relationship specialist Sarah K. Ramsey as she gives you the secrets to rebuilding and rebranding your life after a toxic person encounter. It's time to get past the past, get real about the present, and get serious about your future. For more information, visit sarahkramsey.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. Hey, are you loving Sage and Spirit Radio? Well, mark your calendar. Sage and Spirit goes live in the new time slot every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Pacific time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. What? Yeah, you heard that right. Psychic medium Jamie and Spirit Walker Nicole, 5 p.m. every Wednesday. Live readings, giveaways, oracle cards, and lots of fun. So be there. Call into the show at 1-800-930-2819 and visit ShadesOfSpirit.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge. Megan, before we keep going here, I want to make sure, and I want to just keep saying over and over and over again, this is a conversation that's more than a conversation. This conversation about forgiveness is a pivotal part of what you work with other women and teach other women about, as well as mentor. And it's part of the healing process. I guess it's also part of the confident healer. But before we go ahead, I want to know, how do people find out about you? How do they work with you? How do they get a copy of The Heart's Journey? And tell them what that is.
Well, let's talk about the copy of The Heart's Journey for a moment.
Yeah.
We have a giveaway this show of a copy of The Heart's Journey.
Mm.
Entire box set. But when I wrote The Heart's Journey, for me, it really was a very personal deep dive into what had my experiences been around love and relationship and my heart. And had I really shown up for myself in a way that I felt proud of, or that I felt was in integrity with my heart and what my heart was telling me, and then the decisions and choices that I had to make, or that I chose to make from the things that my heart was telling me. And the very first lesson that I learned about all of this, Pat, was that your heart never lies, and it will tell you the truth above all other voices. And so I began a practice of listening to that. And even though it isn't always easy to follow our heart, in fact, oftentimes it's one of the most challenging things that we can do, it is the highest expression of ourselves. It is the best thing that we can do for ourselves. And in a sense, it when you're coming from your heart in all things, you actually, in my experience, bypass the need, the feeling of the need for forgiveness. Forgiveness in itself, it simply becomes part of the heart opening. In my experience, it's no longer a process. However, there's a process to get to that place, and so that's where people can work with me at that individual level or in my group programs. We can do that work to look at the story that's being held of the things that have happened to us and then change our relationship with that story so that we can create and give meaning and purpose to all of the things that have happened to us or happened for us, which is part of what I'm going to be sharing a little bit later on.
I was already going into it.
You can find me on Facebook at Megan Ed Sheeling. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on YouTube. We have a whole YouTube channel full of amazing videos and resources and tools for training and teaching and just being. And, of course, you can go to my website, which is meganedge.ca, and see everything that we're up to.
And I want to just let Benny know, here's what we'd like to do. We'd like to give a copy of The Heart's Journey. And this is The Heart's Oracle Cards and Guidebook. And this is to our first caller that calls in and shares what their biggest unforgiveness is. Because we're talking about that as a baseline. You know, what is your biggest unforgiveness and what's that journey been like? First caller that calls in and shares that with our audience, we'd love to give you this. So Megan, you know, getting back to you for a minute.
Yes.
So what's yours?
What's that thing I can't forgive?
Yeah.
So I did. I went back through my life. I've been doing a lot of that over the last few weeks. And I did two things. I looked at events in my life that from the outside looking in may appear to be something that is such a transgression it cannot be forgiven, right? Like sexual assault that I shared in one of our previous shows recently. For many people, that would be it. That would be the thing that, how could you possibly ever forgive that? So I looked at it from that perspective. Is there any piece of that experience that I am still holding on to that triggers in me a response of bitterness or anger or fear or resentment, poor me or why me? And I want to use that example for two reasons. One, because it is very personal and it's also a shared experience with many people. And two, because when we're talking about forgiveness, I want to be very, very clear about something. Abuse of any kind perpetrated against children is absolutely not condoned at all, not at all under any circumstances, and should not happen in the first place. However, we know that it does. By the time a child who has experienced that abuse becomes an adult, therein is the capacity, potentially, for them to do some of that healing work around those experiences. And for some people, and in some traditions and some practices, forgiveness is a key part of that. You have to get to a point where you forgive your abuser. I don't tell my clients that. I don't tell them what they have to do and under any circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different perspective. So when I look at the events in my life, just to come back to that, I now see those events from the place of, okay, interesting. I can still feel the hurt and I can still feel the pain and I can still feel the indignation and whatever else comes up around a transgression. And I can move into a higher vibration, a higher frequency, a higher thought pattern of interesting. Okay, so what does that mean for me? And more importantly, what am I willing to do with that experience that gives it meaning and purpose? And how can I be of service to others who have experienced that same thing? And so when I look back on my life, there isn't a single thing that has happened to me that I couldn't forgive.
Mm.
Now, it doesn't mean that I have completely and always and thoroughly forgiven, but I know that I have the capacity because I have that particular belief system, and it works for me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're seeing this over and over and over again in the contemporary times we live in.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the most compelling story was one of Joyce Meyer, and I'm wondering what is coming up for you still. But I remember listening to a tape or something of Joyce, and no knowledge of her childhood or her upbringing. And when I heard about what she went through and the level of sexual and physical abuse by her dad, I had to play it back in disbelief.
Yeah.
Not that I don't believe it happens. I think, you know, we're doing a show like this today because you and I both have these experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some things that just hurt the heart. And I want to ask you this question, too. I know we're going to talk about forgiveness and is forgiveness good for your health. But I think the other thing that you also asked is about the point of pain, that exercise.
Yeah.
Talk about one of the things that you also ask of the people you work with about pain.
Yeah, so pain is such an interesting experience, isn't it?
Dang.
It's incredibly personal. You know, here's the thing about pain. Your pain is completely yours. No one else can know what it feels like for you, whether that's physical pain or emotional pain. They can imagine what it feels like if they've gone through something similar. If you tell me you stubbed your toe and I go, oh God, I know what that feels like. I stubbed my toe too. It was awful. I can empathize with you, but I can't know what that pain is like for you. So this next exercise, this question that we get asked is, what is your point of pain? When you think about that thing that is unforgivable or that you're still feeling hurt about, and that can be a very deep, deep wounding, like what we just talked about.
Yeah.
What is the point of pain? Where is it in your body? If emotional pain will become physical pain if it is not healed or treated on the emotional level. It will eventually work its way into your body, and your body will use the pain that you're feeling physically as a form of communication and an effort to get you to see what is out of alignment, what is hurting you at the emotional level. So any physical pain that you have, this is my belief from all my trainings and learnings, any physical pain you experience has an emotional root cause, whether it's in that very moment or it's 10 or 20 years ago. And that applies for illness as well, because illness causes us pain, right? So when you ask of yourself, what is my point of pain? So maybe my point of pain is abandonment or betrayal, or like from the emotional perspective, right? Or it's anger, or it's deep grief, it's loss. That's my point of pain from the emotional standpoint. And then where in my body is that physical pain showing up? You know, and we talk about heartache.
Yeah.
Heartache is a physical thing that people experience when there has been emotional heartbreak. And the heartache shows up in the physical body as heart attack, angina, tightness of the heart, tightness of the chest. There's a whole host of diseases that we can associate that are connected to the heart, which then would have their source in an emotional pain that is heart-related. And so how this ties into forgiveness is really, there's two points in that it ties into. First of all, is forgiveness required or necessary?
Number one.
Really important.
Yep.
Does the other person deserve your forgiveness? Have they demonstrated that they understand the extent of their behavior and the impact that it had on you? Do they yet deserve your forgiveness? Because honestly, there's a lot of teachings that in my experience have really talked about freely giving away forgiveness. I wonder about that.
Yeah.
I wonder about that. And I believe that that's part of the reason why if somebody says to another person who's been victimized, well, you must forgive your abuser. And they feel like, okay, I have to do this as part of my healing, but that's not landing for me. I'm still in a place where no, my anger is justified and my anger is my motivation for healing right now. So no. And I often say to clients, it's okay. You don't have to forgive. That's not a requirement for healing. What is a requirement for healing is that exploration of what does this hurt mean to me? How is it impacting me? Because as you've pointed out, the other person may not know. Your anger at them is not directed at them. It's directed back at you. In fact, self-forgiveness, self-compassion, self-understanding is, I would say, the most challenging of all the levels of potential forgiveness.
Now,
what is your point of pain and where is it?
Yeah, and, you know, let's talk about that. What if, let's do a what if question.
Okay, I love what if questions.
What if that was the purpose of pain?
What if it was the purpose of pain?
What if the purpose of pain?
Yeah.
Right? Because in the world we live in, and we think about this body we have that is such a just intricate system of so many things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it heals stuff, it all of that. But what if pain had that purpose?
Mm-hmm.
What if pain were still part of that magical, mystical healing system, and that it knew somehow that there was something in there at the emotional and spiritual level,
mm-hmm,
that had to be addressed in order for us to optimize our lives? What if that?
What if?
When we come back, is it really no pain, no gain? We're going to talk about that and much more. What if pain, Megan's going to take us on this journey, what if pain was not personal? What if pain was not personal? What if that event that you're thinking, I'm never going to forgive you for that, dude. Never. Nope, 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 nope. What if it's not personal? I say this all the time to my team. It's not personal, right? That new guideline, that's business. Well, I want to hear what Megan says. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
The complexity of life? Do you feel that urge to step into something greater? Tune in to Nailed It Radio. Find your simplicity within your complexity with me, life coach Carrie Nail. Tune in each month on transformationtalkradio.com to discover what it means to use your full power to be the best version of yourself. Imagine stepping into the energy of saying yes to yourself and knowing you nailed it. For more information about me, visit carrienail.com.
Are you ready to invest in your best self? Join Sabrina Wright as she shares tools for creating joy and balance in your life every single day. Sabrina is here to help you become your greatest advocate and empower you to make decisions that will help you live your best life. The Live the Good Life Show, connecting your physical and spiritual self. Every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find Sabrina at the Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com.
Tune in to the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show Heart Change Consciousness on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dream that sets your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes. So live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Thank
you, Benny.
You're welcome. Took me a while to bring in the harp, but, you know.
I like the harp. Thank you. I was wondering if that was Sarah Main playing that harp right there.
Right?
Thank you, Benny. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. We're talking, Megan Edge is joining me here today. And, of course, what her show is about playing on the edge, playing on the edge radio. It's about radical change with ease. Now, today, it's on the edge of radical forgiveness with ease. How do you get there? And let's make sure, before we talk about it's not personal, but dang, it certainly feels like it, but I just threw that in myself. How do we find out about what you're up to? Tell us about some of the things you're creating.
Oh, I have so many things I'm creating. I think I'm really in that creative energy. It must be something about being an entrepreneur, I think. You know, about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I created a program that I pulled out of my Confident Healer certification program, specifically around prosperity and manifesting. And there's a lot of programs out there about manifesting. One of the things that I feel is different about this program is the work that we do around those core limiting beliefs around money and prosperity and abundance, and finding what those wounds are, those points of pain around self-worth, and doing the healing work, giving the tools, working with those tools to help the individual see those blind spots, understand where that feeling of victim might be in the way of stepping forward into the life that they want to live, whatever that looks like, and then taking them through this eight-week process. And we just finished up a program about 3 or 4 weeks ago. It was phenomenal. Oh, my goodness, the shifts that people were having were just fantastic. It was so incredible to watch. So I'm really excited to share that there's another one coming up starting at the very beginning of May for 8 weeks, and we go on this program of my sharing with you the eight prosperity processes that I have for tapping into your passion and your core beliefs and creating those dreams, like creating that life that you really want and understanding that you can have it. And we do some of this work. We do some of this forgiveness work in that program. So that's coming up. You can go to my website at meganedge.ca, click on classes. Right now there's an early bird special for the next few weeks, $100 off. So it's a great time to hop in there and join us on that journey.
Well, you know, I was just thinking about this, and I was realizing to myself, I shared a little bit on the previous hour some of the really interesting challenges those of us that are in media are being faced with right now, and some of the decisions we have to make, and, you know, navigating through these waters and being able to navigate through them, and my language is clean. That means that I'm not bringing toxic residue with me, because, man, I don't want to create something in this world that has a foundation of toxic waste. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask you about this, about, you know, in this journey, this idea of it's not personal, see?
Mm-hmm.
When I read about this and what you're talking about, by saying it's not personal, it's almost as if we can cut off the toxicity of whatever the event was. Tell us a little bit about this. And have you ever had to say, oh, boy, that just hurt, but it's not personal?
Yes. 100% yes. Many, many examples. Let's see. Okay, so let's go into the example first, and then I'll go into the
sure.
Okay, so there's actually two that come to mind with my dear former husband, and I say that honestly. I do say that honestly. We were dear friends for a long time, and we're still friends in a manner. But as we were going through our separation, it was a very painful time, obviously, for both of us. And decisions were having to be made, and behaviors were coming to the surface, and it wasn't always pretty. And there were two incidences. One was when he came up behind me in the kitchen, kind of cornered me, and whispered in my ear, he said, "You're a monster." And then he turned and walked away. You can just feel that, right?
Yeah.
So,
wow.
And I knew I was coming from my heart, and I knew that I was in integrity, and I knew I was making very difficult decisions, and I knew they weren't welcomed decisions. So I understood that. But I heard that and thought, no, wait, let me check in. Am I a monster? Are the things that I'm doing equal to that name calling? And I decided that it didn't warrant that. I have an idea in my head of what kind of a horrible, awful person there could exist out there, and whatever their story is, who I would consider to be monstrous. And that's not me. That's not how I see myself. So there wasn't even a point of forgiveness for that. I just didn't accept it. I didn't let it be true. I said, no, I'm checking in, and that's not actually landing for me. So it's a bit of water off a duck's back. So that was a really interesting first sort of pivotal experience for me around the idea of maybe we should forgive right away, but then actually there's nothing to forgive because nothing wrong has happened. I haven't accepted it. I haven't taken it on. I didn't make it personal in that moment. And then the other event was, as things were wrapping up and we were, I don't know what we were doing, maybe separation agreement or something like that, and he said to me, I don't know if I'll ever be able to forgive you. I said, okay, well, that's on you. I don't need you to forgive me.
Wow.
I don't need you to forgive me because I know where I've come from with the decisions that I have made. If you need to forgive me at some point in time, then I invite you to do that whenever you feel ready to do that. But it's not about me. That's not about me. That's about him. And this is the thing about forgiveness. But in that moment, this is something I learned. It just landed for me. Huh. It's forgiveness is not about the other person. It's personal, right? It's forgiveness is about our own moral landscape. What do we believe is right or wrong? And how have we behaved? And then why have we behaved that way? And there's a wonderful saying, which is that I did the best I could with what I knew at the time.
Yeah.
The personal forgiveness piece, it's so powerful. It's so powerful because personal non-forgiveness is what I see walk through my door every day in my private practice. People coming to me with that piece of, I was wrong, I did it wrong, I did it badly, I behaved poorly, I made the wrong decision, I hurt somebody, it's my fault. It's these shows, like the shows that you and I've had up until now, the blaming and the shaming and all of this. What it really does is it lands on the individual and their decision, their choice is to make it personal or not. Is it my fault? Does it need to be my fault? What is that about, right? So when Buddy flips you off at the intersection because you didn't notice him get there first and you went through the intersection, that's actually about him and the kind of day he's having. It's not personal.
Yeah.
Now, I know that this could sound fairly light for minor infractions. Think about something really major like that thing that you could never forgive. And I say to you, it's not personal. And you say to me, but Megan, he did that to me. Or he did that to my child, or whatever it was, or she did it. They did it to me. Of course it's personal. And I will come back and say to you, anything that anyone does is coming from them. It's coming from their filters, their experiences, their life view.
Mm-hmm.
Their reaction to you is about them.
Yeah.
It is not about you. And one of the places where we get with this work is the realization that, oh, there may have actually been nothing I could have done to stop that other person, that event from happening.
And then, Megan, one of the things that was very helpful to me along the way, and I can't remember at what point in my life the light bulb went on, when somebody said to me, look, forgiveness isn't about condoning an act. It isn't about not holding somebody accountable for an act. You know, there's nothing that says that's what forgiveness is. And then, of course, there's been bodies of work that have been come out from a number of different people that really talk to that. But, you know, it was kind of like a strange moment when one of my mentors said, Pat, that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you are agreeing with that act against yourself or your brother, your sister, your mom. That's not what it is. Mm-hmm. And boy, it took me a while to ponder that.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
My thoughts is this: forgiveness, action, step. Forgiveness is action. So by that I mean, you can sit in the experience that you've had that somebody else has done to you, you believe somebody else has done to you, no matter how awful it is, and you can just sit in it. And if you do that, it will impact your health eventually. And we know this. There is hard science, medical science behind this. I'm not just flipping this off.
No.
It will harm you to sit in that. Okay. The other option is to decide what it means to you. And then to decide, what is your action going to be to relieve the pain of holding on to it? Right?
Yeah.
So that action might be deciding that you're going to say out loud, I forgive so-and-so for that thing that they did for me. You could even write them a letter or tell them if you want to, if that feels like the action. But because forgiveness is such a personal process, and because we live in vibration, just the very thought of, okay, how am I feeling about this? Am I calming? Am I calm about this?
Mm-hmm.
Am I, you know, just even that rumination sends out the vibration to the other person.
Yeah.
It's really very powerful.
And, you know, it also doesn't mean, you know, in the world we live in a society, and I think there are societies everywhere where there is an act and then there's a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're not, how should I say it, naive to the acts of humanity against humanity. We're not naive about that. And I don't think, you know, when we talk about, at least my perspective of forgiveness, it doesn't mean that there's not going to be an accountability or responsibility. You know, I mean, there are systems. There are systems in the United States and Canada and other places that if you do this,
mm-hmm.
this is punishable by this.
Right.
And even so, it may never fulfill the punishment you think should happen.
But then, you know, you get into this gray area.
On
revenge.
Oh.
And I would say that almost like, is revenge the antithesis of forgiveness? That's an interesting question.
It is an interesting question because you're carrying around the energy of revenge.
Mm-hmm.
That is literally eating away at you.
Yeah.
You can start to feel yourselves disintegrate. And
right.
then, Megan, one more thing. There is another school of thought against about forgiveness, and I wanted you to talk about forgiveness because
mm-hmm.
I want to make sure we touch upon that.
Yeah.
You know, here we are talking about revenge. Now, oopsie, radical forgiveness. Tell everyone what that is.
So radical forgiveness as a concept, as a teaching and a healing modality, was created by a gentleman in England called Colin Tippings. And I did his training. I am actually a certified radical forgiveness coach. And taking that training was really pivotal to my own understanding of what forgiveness is, and then B, what we do with it. And how we can work with it in a very radicalized way. And the radical part of this is that we get to a place, like I said at the very beginning of our show, where we decide that everything has a reason and a purpose, and that things are not done to us, they are done for us. And when that brings up tension and resistance to that idea, because we are so entrenched in being incensed about the things that have happened to us, that's information. That's that point of pain that I talked about earlier, right? What is that resistance? So Colin Tippings, look him up. He's now passed on, but his body of work still exists.
Yeah.
And he's written a number of books about different things in our lives and the ways in which we can work with these concepts of radical forgiveness. What I'm wanting to do today, as we come to the end of our show, is to take everyone through this process of what I'm calling radical forgiveness with ease, with a nod to Colin Tippings, because most of this is coming out of his work, and allow the audience to have this experience.
Let's do it.
All right. We're going to do it. So here's what I'd like to invite everybody to do who's listening or watching, is just to simply gently close your eyes. Take a nice deep breath in and then simply exhale it and feel yourself drop into your body. Take a second deep breath in. Let your body sink into whatever you're sitting on or lying on. And then a third nice deep breath in. And on the release, just release. Release anything that's showing up, anything that's not serving your highest good, any tension, just release it. And continue with that breathing and releasing and breathing and releasing. And then bring yourself back to normal breath. And think about a situation where you feel that you have been wounded, hurt, victimized, staying in the observer role. Simply look at it and notice what you notice and allow the feelings of this to infuse your body. And notice where in your body these feelings are showing up. Where are they being stored? What's the point of pain? Who did what? How were you emotionally hurt? Let the whole thing show up. And then give a value of the hurt or the pain or the wounding to the situation and how you're feeling between 1 and 10. 10 being it's unbearable and 1 being there's no charge to it. Just let the first number that comes into your mind show up. I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and I invite you to say yes out loud if you can. As the answer to each question, even if you don't understand completely or agree completely. Okay. So here's the first question, and just staying in this nice, relaxed state. Are you willing to be open to the possibility that there may be a healing opportunity in this situation? Just let it be a yes. If there's a but that follows the yes, just sit on it. Can you be open to the idea that your higher self, soul self, or superconscious, with your permission, set this up as a healing opportunity for personal growth and evolution? Can you be open to the possibility that you only feel upset when the person or situation resonates in you something that you have projected onto them and represents a part of you that desires to be loved and accepted unconditionally? And even if you do not know what that part of you is that you have disowned, are you willing to unconditionally love and accept this part of you right now in this moment? And even if you cannot explain why, are you willing to believe there is a higher purpose and opportunity to this situation and that it wasn't done to you but for you? Are you open to the idea that you called this person or situation into your life to heal something, both for yourself and others and for everyone's highest good? Sit with the energy of your answers for a moment. Notice any resistance to answering yes to these questions and just breathe into the resistance with a deep inhale and exhale. Are you now noticing that the feelings and emotions you had around this person or situation are subsiding, dissipating, dissolving, and that you are feeling more peaceful and accepting of the situation? And if not now, would you be willing to allow that to occur in the future? Are you becoming aware that the story is losing most or all of its charge, or that you no longer remember it with the emotional pain or discomfort? And can you begin to feel the subtle or obvious shift in energy within you and a greater awareness, clarity, and calm in relation to the experience? Can you feel that the story you were telling yourself and others about this previously unforgivable event has shifted and that it no longer holds an emotional trigger for you? That it is now part of your past experience and no longer defines or controls you? Sit in the energy of all you have done and completed in answering yes to each of these questions. Feel into your body. Is there still tension? If so, take a deep breath in, and on the exhale, ask to release that which no longer serves your highest good. And you can do this release breath as many times as you need to until there is no longer any charge left in your body. And now go back to the original numeric value you gave the situation at the beginning of this process. the value you would give it, and what is the value you would give it now? And let it be the first number that comes into your mind as the truth. It's just a value. It's not good or bad. It's just what it is. And then slowly open your eyes, look around you, give your body a shake, and move back into your day. Mm-hmm. So this beautiful process, this is what I worked with when I began this journey of what is forgiveness and what do I do with it and how do I work with it. And it was profound.
This is powerful beyond any words we can put to this or I can put to it. And the reason I say that, Megan, is that if we just took a glimpse of the past 18 months and the stress points on people,
mm-hmm.
the changes, the losses, this is a powerful way for people to really get some ease in their lives. Thank you so much. Please, again, tell people how they can find out about you and what do you want to leave us with today?
I'm easy to find. Look up Megan Edge Healing. You'll find me on LinkedIn. You'll find me on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube channel, and at meganedge.ca for our website. What do I want to leave us with today? I think one of the most important things that we've talked about today is this point that forgiveness is not about accountability. That forgiveness is a personal process. You can choose to do it or not. There's no right or wrong in that. And really, when we look at the word and we break it down, the word says forgiving. So it is forgiving of something. When I decide that something that somebody did to me or to somebody else is not personal, when I can look through the lens of compassion and understanding, then I have a different touch point for working with what my experience are. Do I still feel pain and anger and upset and all the other things? Yes, and it's okay to feel that. Those are important emotions to have, but my message to you is that you're not meant to live in those feelings. You're meant to be a catalyst to move into something more. And that's the work that we can do when we look at this radical forgiveness with ease.
Wow. Megan, thank you so much for today and everything.
You've been listening to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show Network, providing you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. If you've missed any part of this episode or want to find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.com.